In this special podcast, we're looking at something which might sound a bit dry and dull, but is going to affect the way we are governed locally. Joining me is Tim Boson. Tim is president of St Albans Civic Society. Hi, Tim.
Good afternoon, Nick.
Now, let's start at the very beginning, shall we? There is this idea, well, more than an idea, the national government is pushing for a consolidation of councils, isn't it, into what they're calling unitary authorities. And this is sort of actually gaining some momentum now. Just explain to us what's going on.
Yes, we in St Albans and the district, we have a city and district council, and that will disappear by 2028, and will be part of a unitary authority. It's not clear where that unitary authority will be at the moment, because the county council, that's Hertfordshire County Council, have until the 28th of November to put forward their view about where the unitary authority should be, how many there should be, and so on. The money is on the likelihood that the county will be split in two, and there'll be two unitary authorities. But nothing is certain, and the county council will submit their view, and then it will be up to, I guess, the Secretary of State to determine what will happen to Hertfordshire. But as I say, most people are thinking there'll probably be an east and west divide, and we'll lose our city and district council to a unitary authority, possibly based somewhere like Watford.
And so when we talk about a unitary authority, we mean, look, there's not going to be a county council, a district council. What about parish councils?
Well, the parish councils will still exist. And I should probably explain here. I mean, you might be familiar, but listeners might not be familiar with what a parish council really is, because the title, of course, is ecclesiastical. People might think just to do with a church, but in fact it's a civil council, and it's the lowest tier of local government, lowest tier of statutory local government, i.e. it has statutory powers.
Right, and so parish councils look after smaller areas, and in the current system they have some powers to do things that district councils or county councils don't get involved in, is that right?
Yes, they, you know, the usual thing is sort of playing fields, open spaces, green spaces, and so on. They can have quite interesting roles. For example, in our city and district council, we have a town council at Harpenden, and that Harpenden council has the powers of a parish council. So it's technically a parish council, but it can take the title of a town council. And you have quite a few of those up and down the land.
Those are not going, is that right, in a unitary authority?
No.
The town council would still be there.
They'll still stay. And I was going to say the large parish council might surprise people, but it's actually the town council of Northampton, which is over... in terms of residents, over 137,000 residents. So it's a very big parish council.
Right. But presumably the unitary authorities have quite a lot of things reserved to them. So roads and all that sort of thing, bin collections and so on. So parish councils are very much more about kind of the green space and the smaller local things. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yes, that's correct, Nick. And the unitary authorities will have all the strategic responsibilities that a county council now has. And as you mentioned, roads, of course, is a very important one, particularly when we start talking about potholes. But the proposal of the reorganisation of local government will also have the election of a mayor in a principal authority. And the mayor will have considerable powers, and I suppose the best way to understand that is to think about the mayors in London, Birmingham and Manchester, which are elected mayors, and they have considerable strategic powers to make things happen, particularly with regard to transport and building of houses and so on.
So the county council, or sorry, the unitary authority, maybe two for Hertfordshire. The mayor will not be like the sort of mayors we think of for Harpenden or St Albans mayor. They are mayors with strategic powers and money. And how will that work? Will that be one for the whole of Hertfordshire? What's going to happen there?
That's not clear, and that will again be decided by the government as to how that will work. And I imagine after the county council submits its response to reorganisation on the 28th of November, I imagine then things will become a bit clearer about how the strategic mayor, the elected mayor, is going to operate within the new unitary authorities.
Right. So come 2028, the St Albans District Council, for example, disappears. We get a unitary authority maybe based in Watford. Now, many people will think, I don't want to be managed from Watford. What do they know about St Albans or Harpenden or Wheat Hampstead? That ship sailed, has it?
Well, what a motion was put forward to our council and agreed by our full council, that's the City and District Council, that we should start what's called a community governance review. And we had a community governance review back in 2019 to really look at the boundaries. It made hardly any alterations at all. It was very small. But the community governance review can also create a parish council, or rather it can ask for a parish council to be created, and then our city and district council, as a principal authority, can create a parish council. And that will be important for St Albans, because we have this strange phenomenon that the central part of the city of St Albans, that's almost nine wards, do not have a parish council. So they rely on the city and district council. And if that disappears, there will be no local voice for the unparished areas. So the community governance review is basically asking the question, would you like a parish council? That's the most important part of it. Right. And there's a campaign being organised now by various organisations, but civic society, residents associations and so on, to get people to respond to the community governance review, which has to be responded for the first stage by the 6th of October, so it's very close, get people to respond to say, yes, we would like a parish council for the city centre. And the reason we would like that is so we have a local democratic voice at the grassroots level.
Right. And so just to be clear about, so the city centre has no parish council at the moment. How big is the city centre roughly in terms of where does that spread? So if there were no parish council created, it would simply be the unitary authority based in Watford deciding what happens with Verulamium Park, for example.
Yes, it covers about 28,000 households, which, you know, if you sort of you wind up with multiplication, is probably, you know, about 85,000 people. It covers the areas, and I've got a list here. It goes Batchwood, Bernard's Heath, Clarence, Cunningham, Hill End, Marshallwick West, Sopwell, St Peter's, and Verulam. Those are all wards that are unparished. So right. That's the area that it covers.
Okay. All right. So quite a sizable area. So if people, so the civic society's view is, yes, we must have a parish council and people should get involved in the governance review. What's the council's view? What is the district council's view right now? How are they looking at it?
Well, the council's view and the way they're carrying out the community governance review is to be, in fact, not take any particular position. Right. So this is why, as I was mentioning, we're getting organisations beginning to campaign for the idea of the parish council. And the main concerns that have emerged are one I mentioned, which is, you know, the local democratic voice being heard. And it would be very, very paradoxical, wouldn't it, if you have a town council operating in Harpenden with councillors, but you have no councillors for the city centre of St Albans.
Right.
And it also, of course, raises the question too, how, you know, where's the mayor going to fit in? Because we've had a mayor I was going to ask you to guess, but it's unfair. We've had a mayor since 1553. Well, you know, it goes back a long way. So all of that has to be fitted in. And one of the issues that's emerging, which I think is quite serious, is what's going to happen to all the city and district assets in the city centre? What are those assets? For example, the clock tower or Verulamium Park, or who is going to manage those? Is it a unitary authority based somewhere else? Which I think would not be good because they wouldn't have the local knowledge and they wouldn't have the understanding of the specific character of St. Albans. So one of the concerns is we need a parish council which could then manage those local assets. They might still be owned by the unitary authority, but the likelihood is they would then ask the parish council to manage them in the same way that the city and district council here now asks Harpenden to manage the assets within Harpenden.
Right, right. Got it. So now, if people feel deeply about this, or not too deeply, but are still concerned, what do we need to do?
Well, you need to go onto the council website, and there's a link, and you can actually just look at their latest news thing, and it'll give you the link, and you send in your views. It's not easy because they've not given you a questionnaire, and they've not given you a sort of tick box. You actually have to write in an email and say, I would like a parish council, and the reason I'd like a parish council is... I want local democratic voice. I want to sustain our mayor, and I would like us to be able to manage our assets in the future. It's worrying that in the government reorganisation, which is talking about devolution, the devolution that they have put into their white paper is really about the devolution of power to an elected mayor, not about devolution of power to a local community. Right. And that's the concern. We want the local community to have a democratic voice.
All right. So head to the St. Albans District Council website, yes, and look at their news feed, find the link there and make your views known if you feel that we should have within the centre of St. Albans a more local council, so a parish council effectively. Tim, what happens next? Once this review is completed, where does this all head then?
Well, then if there's enough response, and this is one of the problems, and we were talking some time, remember when we were when we held a session about the local government reorganisation in the Cathedral Church, we were talking then about what happened in Buckinghamshire, where they did a community governance review in High Wycombe, and they got such a low response, they didn't take it any further. So it is very important that people do respond so that the present city and district council can say with some confidence there is enough people within the city and district who want to have a parish for the city centre. So that will be important to get those numbers up. And I know it's quite difficult sometimes for people to grasp the technicalities of this thing, but I think they will regret it in the way that High Wycombe regretted it, because they didn't get the parish council they wanted. They would regret it if they missed this opportunity, because this is a good time to get that parish council in position in time for then it to be a tier of local government once the unitary authorities have been formed.
All right, Tim, very interesting, and something that perhaps people, particularly in the centre of St Albans, will want to get involved in. As I say, you can head to the St Albans District Council website and find the link to the consultation on, is it called a consultation on unitary authority, Tim, do you know?
No, it's not. It is under the title of the Community Governance Review.
Right.
And normally, as I mentioned before, normally they look at boundaries and so on. So it's not always normally that they're asking about parish councils. One thing I would like to tackle here, Nick, as well, because people will say, OK, it's fine. We do want a local democratic voice. And yes, we're going to lose, 56 councillors from the city and district, 56 go. How many are we going to have replacing that? Will there be one for each ward, or will it be rather like the county council now? I mean, the city centre only has, right in the centre, only four councillors representing St Albans in the Hertfordshire County Council. So how many councillors are we going to have? And then, of course, this is always a key question, and is it going to cost us? What's it going to cost us? And, of course, if you set up another council, there's going to be a cost to that. However, at the moment, we're already paying in our council tax precepts for our parish councils that are in the city and district. And we're actually paying for the unparished areas to a committee that's run by the so-called CNC, which is run to represent the unparished areas. So we are actually already paying for that.
Right.
And so there will be a cost, of course, new councillors and administration, but in fact, it's very unlikely to reflect an increased cost that we've got, because we'll have lost the city and district, we'll have the unitary authority, and then if we have a parish council, it will just be another parish council along with Harpenden and all those others that joins in. The more important thing, I think, is it will give us some control. And has been pointed out to me actually by one of the councillors, of course, a parish council can raise funds. It can raise funds not just through taxation, a precept, but, for example, the charter market. Where does the profit from the charter market go? Festivals that we organise for and tourism, which we charge certain things for and events we do, that money could go into a parish council, which then gives it, of course, with having an income, gives it more power to do things. So I'm trying to head off here, I think, people's worry that if we vote for a parish council, it's going to cost us more. Right. I don't believe it will. Of course, I can't be certain, but I don't believe it will. And I actually think the local democratic voice and the opportunity to manage our assets is very, very important. And we shouldn't be put off by thinking, well, is it going to be financially more expensive for us?
All right, Tim. Yeah, we get that. Okay, so head to the community governance review on the St Albans District Council website. You have until the very early in October to do that and make your views known. Tim, thank you very much for covering that. I'm sure this is a topic we're going to come back to.
I think absolutely, because this is only the first consultation and there will be next year a second consultation. I'm just trying to emphasise the importance of people responding, because it is sometimes a bit of a numbers game. So we need to let the City and District Council know that there are enough people who are concerned about this and would like to have a local voice in how our democracy works.
All right. Tim Boson is President of St Albans Civic Society. Tim, thank you very much for explaining all of that and encouraging us to get involved in local democracy.
Many thanks, Nick, for having me.